We're continuing our study of synergy. Somebody define synergy for me. We're going to keep doing this till you guys get this definition down. Say it again. Accomplishing more by working together than by working separately, individually. Just because you're in a group doesn't mean you're working together. Have you ever been in a group that's not working together? Yeah, that's in fact, usually that makes you accomplish less than if the group was there. But God wants us to accomplish more. The illustration that we give is 1 + 1 equals more than 2, right? That's what synergy does. And the Bible describes that in Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at that last week. Every joint supplying and how we work together and God accomplishes things. So here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Last week we were looking at some of the problems that they were having. You have these two personalities, the Apostle Paul and this man named Apollos, and the church here at Corinth is struggling over who is the best. And some are saying, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos, and that's creating some division in the body. So where they should be accomplishing more by working together, there's now division, and it all has to do with these personalities. And we'll look at those a little bit and then just look at what else God's trying to do through this as we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 1. We're going to read through the passage, all right? So it's 15 verses. Hang on tight. We'll read through it, verses 1 through 15, and then have a word of prayer. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And we talked about that concept of walking as men last week. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Father, we ask that as we look at this passage of Scripture, you would teach us as a body of believers to be working together to accomplish what you would have for us. Help us to understand what our natural inclinations are and how you would like to change those into the image of your Son. And help us to just see a wonderful growth as we enter into a new year as a body, that you would just continue to bless in marvelous ways, and help us to be careful to give you all of the praise and the glory. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tell me something you know about Paul. Paul and Apollos are two different personalities. They're unique. So tell me something you know about Paul. He is formally trained. Paul is, he comes from some money, it seems like, and some connections, and he has formal training. He sat under Gamaliel, and the Scripture, the Bible teaches us that. And so it was he was the Harvard grad of the Pharisees. So something else. What do you know about Paul? He was very bold. He's a bold personality. He speaks, and he speaks boldly when he speaks. Something else you know about Paul? He is persistent. He doesn't give up. He doesn't quit easily. Remember that list of things that he had to endure, and he didn't quit, but he's also persistent about dealing with people. Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. You know, he's persistent. Tell me something about Apollos. Harder. He is eloquent and mighty in the Scriptures. So, you know, he does know, he has some, it's not like he's a schlup, all right? This is not like we're comparing apples and oranges, really. I mean, in his own right, Apollos is, you know, eloquent and mighty in his use of the Scriptures. What else do we know about Apollos? He's charismatic. We see that in the Scripture. He was. He was charismatic. So here's what we have. We have Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He is well steeped in Judaism and in his training and all of those kinds of things. Apollos, where did Apollos grow up? Anybody know? A place called Alexandria. And he probably had a lot more, you and I would say it, worldly knowledge. You know, he really was steeped in the Greek philosophies and those kinds of things. But they both come to Christ, and now they're both being used by God to lead. But what you have are two unique personalities. Now, it is nature for us to gravitate to personalities. Okay, it just is. Whether you can like this or not, but it is, you know, there are some people that you like, and there are some people that you really like. You know, we gravitate toward personalities. That is nature. And that doesn't create any problems unless we allow that truth to start becoming a division, right? And do you remember the days? I don't know. Maybe it still is out there. Maybe I'm just in my own tiny little bubble. You guys have insulated me so well. This is like the place to be. I'm telling you, it really is. But do you remember the days in our Baptist history not that long ago, our fundamental Baptist history here in America, where personalities were the driving force of ministries? And it wasn't about what God was doing nearly as much as it was about the personality that was surrounded by that ministry. And it was a difficult thing. Now, I mean, God used that. I'm not trying to imply that was bad. God used that time in our history, but it does create some problems. When we build around a personality, what happens when the personality is gone? Can you think of ministries, please don't say anything out loud, can you think of ministries that used to be powerful, used of God, mighty ministries, but the personality left? Yikes. And this is where this Corinthian church is headed. They're missing out on this concept of working together that God has for them. And the Apostle Paul is trying to set the record straight. He starts out, and by the way, he starts this out very well when he starts with himself. Who is Paul? He is literally saying, what's so big deal about Paul? And who's Apollos? We're nothing in the equation, all right? We have three people in the equation, if you'll let me use people. We have the church at Corinth. We have the personality of Paul or Apollos, whichever one you've decided is the one. And then you have the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The reason why we're there. And Paul asks, who is Paul? Do you get the idea? If Paul's gone, is Jesus still there? And if it's all about Jesus, this is great that the teenagers had this message. You know, what a tremendous question. If Jesus was all you had, would it be enough? And it's a good question for all of us, and that's where this church is. And so Paul's trying to get them to get their focus off of the personalities, and it's human nature to gravitate to personality. I mean, let's just be honest. Some of you are here because you like the way I preach. Some of you are here because you like that we have a youth pastor like Pastor Andrew. But whether you realize this or not, Pastor Andrew and I are not enemies, okay? We're actually working together for the same common goal, which is to glorify God through Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. You get the idea? Because it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And if you can understand that, then what you like or dislike about us becomes less relevant because it's not about us. And so that's where this church is. Well, this church had gone to that extent that it began to create division. Again, I'm going to go back in Baptist history for a little bit. Can you think of any divisions that were caused by strong personalities in ministries? Don't say anything out loud. Just think, all right? Because I don't care about trying to preach against other ministries. We have enough stuff on our own plate to worry about somebody else's ministry. But I want us to figure out something from here. When personality becomes the issue, then division is the natural follower of that. And we've seen it. You've seen it firsthand, many of you. Some of you, you're too young to remember that, and praise the Lord. I hope you never, ever, ever see it. But, you know, just think through a church split that you can remember. And praise the Lord, you wouldn't remember one here, but think through a church split you can remember. Can you remember personalities being involved? It's when people get their minds off the Lord, their eyes off the Lord, and on to other people, other personalities. Well, the Apostle Paul's trying to rein in this concept by asking these questions. Who are we? And then he goes on to answer this question. Take a look at it. He says, who is Paul? Or who is Apollos? And listen to what he says. He says, got to find it here. Are we not ministers? I like this question. That word is servants. Aren't we just servants of the Lord? Do you know who your pastors are? We're servants. That's what we are. We're nothing big and important. There's nothing special about us. If I die today, the Lord's still on the throne. And I would anticipate you would be here next week worshiping him, right? Because it's not about us. I think it was Spurgeon that said one time, he said, you know, the best services are the ones where the people leave talking about the Lord instead of talking about you and your sermon. You know, think about that. If people could leave talking about the Lord, and that's where their focus has been, not, wow, didn't pastor do a good job? It's, wow, don't we have a good God? That makes a good service, right? And so Paul puts this into perspective. He said, we're just ministers. All we are servants. It said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed? We're just servants. And when we get our mind off the personality and onto the reason we're here, it'll begin to change the way the church is working together. So he goes on to point this out, that, you know, yes, there's different backgrounds. And because they're backgrounds, they have different perspectives and different approaches to problems. And you know, I am certain that I frustrate some of you to no end, you know, because I approach things a way that you wouldn't do if you were the one, you know, having to approach things. It is the nature of the beast. It doesn't offend me. It is what it is, right? As long as we're biblical in this, then I don't really care. But, you know, this is what happens. We have different backgrounds, so there's a different approach to these things, different concepts with this. But we're all servants. Now, within this servanting that we all have, all of us are servants, which makes us, by the way, if I'm a servant and you're a servant, what does that make us? Say it out loud. Equal. Hear me. You know, pastors are not here and then congregation here. Do you know what it takes to get your pastor to heaven? The blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what it takes to get you to heaven? The blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what your pastor is? A servant. Do you know what you are? A servant. Whoa. Do you see how this changes everything? Now, that doesn't mean that our responsibilities are the same. I'm not saying that you shouldn't show respect for pastors. You should, because God asks you to. But, you know, it has nothing to do with value. It has to do with responsibility. So let's take a look at another passage. Turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and let me show you how this is going to work together in a church and create this wonderful sense of unity. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4, says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Because yes, we're all members of one body. We're all servants of Jesus, but we don't all do the same things. We don't all carry the same responsibilities. So we don't You know, we don't carry the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members, and this is a huge, important, hugely important phrase, one of another. The idea is that, you know, we really can't exist apart from the other. Remember, the Bible likens us to the body. If I cut my finger off, and I'm not going to, so don't get excited. If I cut my finger off, what would my finger be? It'd be laying on the floor. But you know, at that point, I mean, my finger becomes, it's not like, oh, look, there's John Ray on the floor. It's not that way, right? We're literally nothing separated from one another. We are members one of another. These members all make up one body. And, you know, so when you separate them, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. Since this is where, you know, God is bringing us. Every one of us are members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. And then he goes through the gifts. The idea here is that we're all servants. We're all equal in value to the Lord. It takes the same thing to get all of us to heaven. There's none of us that are more important than another. There's no such thing as Paul and Apollos. It's all about Jesus. You get the idea? So it's not Pastor John. It's not Pastor Andrew. It's all about Jesus. It is. The reality is, this is not my ministry. Do you understand? And when it becomes my ministry, in my mind or your mind, it's going to create problems. It's God's ministry. All we are servants in his ministry. So we're back into 1 Corinthians, and you'll begin to see how this works. So then, because it's not about us, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We may be doing different responsibilities, but in the end, it's not what Paul did that helped the church. And it's not what Apollos did that helped the church. It's what God is doing that is bringing the increase, because it's all about him. And when we get the personality out of the way and instead focus on the person of Jesus, all of a sudden it becomes much easier for us to enjoy that wonderful synergy, working together, accomplishing what God wants to, doing more with all of us collectively than any one of us can do individually, because God's working this way. This is how God wants to do it. So what we then have to do is understand that we have this foundation. We do all have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to decide how we build on the foundation. So think of it as a church, Southeast Baptist. Think of it as your home. Think of it as your personal life. What are we going to bring to the plate? What are we going to put on the salvation? And the Bible literally says in this passage that every one of us should be careful what we put on the foundation. In other words, what comes of the building is something that we do have influence over. We, not like we, John Ray, but we decide how God is going to work at Southeast Baptist based on what we're willing to bring to the plate. So for instance, if you bring to the plate of Southeast Baptist, or the foundation of Christ that is going to become Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, if we put on that gold, silver, precious stones, then we're building a ministry that will last and that will glorify him. But if we bring to it wood, hay, stubble, then we add to that ministry that which will not last and fails to bring glory to him. We might, by wood, hay, and stubble, turn people's attention from him to a person, to a personality, but we're going to miss what God's really wanting us to do. What God wants us to do is to figure out that we're all servants and then work together to the same goal, which is to build on the foundation that is laid. And no other foundation can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so this is where Paul's trying to teach us to, bring us to. In verse 9, he points out that we're doing God's work, that God is the one working, right? It's God giving the increase. It is him that is working. So neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. It's God doing the work. It's God's work. He is the, if you'll let me use the term, owner, right? It's not an unbiblical term, for you're bought, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And so he is the owner, and we are the servants. If we recognize that, it becomes easier for us to work together, recognizing it's not about a personality, it's not about any of us, it's all about him. It's all about keeping our eyes and our minds upon bringing glory and honor to him. Not only is he the one we're working for, we're all his servants, but he is the one we get the power from to do the service. Take a look at it again. It's not about us. So anything that, when we do drag our gold, silver, and precious stones and put it on the foundation, it's him doing the work. He is the way that we've been able to bring gold, silver, and precious stones to the foundation. Because it's all about him. It's not about us. And when we figure this out, all of a sudden, we begin to work together. Now, here's the idea. If earlier Paul was condemning them because there's division, what would be the opposite of division? Unity. That's a good word. Unity. All right? If division is that we're working against each other, then what is unity? Working with each other. It's called cooperation. It's called, working together. And so, you know, we've got choices here. Either we're going to allow personality to draw us to division. We're going to focus on human beings. And, well, I'd rather be like this person. I'd rather be like this person. I'd rather be like Jesus. Forget trying to be like your pastor. There's too many flaws. It's not worth it. Instead, set your goals much higher. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there's not a pastor on the planet. The Apostle Paul himself was not the mark. You see, the Apostle Paul said, who am I? Who's Paul? Nobody. So what we want to do is bring ourselves to this place where we're willing to cooperate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which is done, whether it be good or bad. So the idea is this. Now this gets challenging for us, all right? Yes, it's God's work. Yes, we do everything through his power. But here's a difficult thing for us to grasp. God will allow us to put wood, hay, and stubble on the foundation of his son. He will. He'll allow us to make a mess of things. He'll allow our homes to reflect wood, hay, and stubble rather than gold, silver, precious stones. You and I must be careful what we bring to the foundation, because we are all going to give an account of ourselves. And when that day comes, folks, you're not going to stand before this preacher. None of you are going to have to give an account to John Ray. You and I will be standing side by side giving an account to the Lord for ourselves. You see how this works? So it's not about personality. It is about the Lord. If we can keep that focus there, then it makes it much easier for me to think gold, silver, precious stone, and put the wood, hay, and stubble aside. Wouldn't it be awful to come to the end of your ministry and watch it collapse because it was gold, it was wood, hay, and stubble rather than gold, silver, precious? Wouldn't it be awful to come to the end of your family and watch it collapse because it's wood, hay, stubble rather than gold, silver, precious stones? What we need to do is be very careful what we're building upon this foundation, because we have a God who will let us build wood, hay, and stubble. You know, the idea when you get to this passage in 1 Corinthians 3, you know, it says that we're all going to have our works tried, though as by fire, right? Going to be tried by fire. And everything that is wood, hay, and stubble burns up. It's not going to last. It's not eternal. It's not worthy of eternal reward. The only thing that's left is gold, silver, precious stones. And the idea is literally this, that our life is kind of, you know, run through a conveyor belt, so to speak, and through the furnace of God's trial. And what comes out on the other side, we scoop up, we walk over to the blood-stained feet of our Savior and cast at his feet what is left. And the wood, hay, and stubble's gone. And if we've surrounded, if we built it all on human beings, even if that human being is the Apostle Paul, it becomes wood, hay, and stubble. For who is Paul? But a servant of Jesus. Who is Apollos? But a servant of Jesus. But the church, the family, the individual that gets hold of this truth and puts the personality aside and focuses on the person of Christ, and then focus on bringing the right things to the foundation because they love Jesus, that person will find the wonderful unity that God is describing. And this is the, think about this in the terms of reward. If 1 plus 1 equals more than 2, and we're working together for eternal reward, what happens to our reward? Think about this. If 1 plus 1 equals more than 2, and what we're adding together is eternal reward because we're focused on Him, then we are literally exponentially multiplying the reward that will be ours in heaven, ours to cast at the feet of the only one worthy of reward, our Savior Jesus Christ. I did this because I love you. Wow. Wouldn't that be exciting? That's what a church can enjoy. It's called synergy. 1 plus 1 equals more than 2. That's what a family can enjoy. It's called synergy. 1 plus 1 equals more than 2.